We are in his presence here today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, that sounded a little anemic to me. Didn't it to you, Rose? We are in his presence today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence, for we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The Pharisee standing by himself was praying thus. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this IRS agent. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. Pharisees often get a bum rap, don't they? We hear all the stories from the gospel about how the Pharisees were out to try to trick Jesus, try to catch Jesus, try to get Jesus to say something that they could arrest him and they could try him. And indeed, they were heavily involved in his arrest and his trial and his conviction and sending him up to Pilate to be executed. They were heavily involved in that, but the Pharisees get something of a hard rap. They take it on the chin. But if you look at what this guy was actually saying, the content of it, he sounds pretty good. Look, he's in church. He's in the temple praying. That's pretty good. He says he fasts twice a week. That means that with the fasting, he is in intensive prayer, intensive devoted prayer twice a week. Let me see a show of hands of the people here who do not take any kind of nutrition twice a week. Huh? Once a week. And I'm not talking about when you're sick, friends. And when you're not taking nutrition, you're intensive in your prayer life. Show of hands. No one. So this Pharisee has us beat. Twice a week he fasts, and during that fast period, he's intensive in his prayer. He's in church, he fasts twice a week. Wow! And not only that, he's a tither. He gives a tenth of his income. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of the tithers in here. I don't want people lying. But he's a tither. He gives a tenth of his income. My friends, he has us beat in prayer and fasting and in tithing. He sounds like a pretty good guy. I wish I had 12 more just like him. Kinda. When I was in seminary, we had trouble keeping the differences between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Essenes and the Zealots all nice and straight. And I had a professor who suggested to me that you can remember what Sadducees believe because they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. Therefore, they were sad, you see. Ooh. Ow. He's also the brilliant guy who came up with the idea that you can remember that Pharisees were always interested in the law. They were interested in studying the scriptures. They were deep in the Holy Torah, day after day after day, trying to comprehend God's will for them. Therefore, they were fair, you see. They were interested in the law. Therefore, they were fair, you see. I know that's even worse than Sadducees. Pharisees, my friends, they are the people who were interested in God's will. They were the people who were interested in studying the Torah, the law of Moses, the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, They were the ones who were interested in studying the writings, the chronicles, the wisdom literature, Proverbs, and the Psalms, and Ecclesiastes. They were the ones who were deep into the Bible of their day. Indeed, most scholars would say that in many respects, Jesus Himself was part of the Pharisaic denomination of Judaism. So He was giving criticism from the inside. He was criticizing the Pharisees because He knew them so very well. He had seen them day after day after day in the synagogues. He had seen them and He knew them so very well. And so He crafted this beautiful parable, this beautiful illustration to exemplify the difference between the worst kind of Pharisee and the ones who go away forgiven. And He illustrates it by saying this Pharisee stands up there and essentially brags. God, I thank You that I'm a faster, prayer, tither. But more importantly, I thank You that I'm not an evil sinner, a thief, a rogue, an adulterer, or even this IRS agent over here. I thank You that I'm not like these other sinners. I'm doing pretty good, He said. I pray, I fast, I tithe, I'm in church. I thank You, God, I'm much better than those sinners over there at First Methodist Church in Sigaville. I'm here, and I pray, and I fast, and I tithe. He's bragging. He's bragging. He is certain of his attainment. His prayer is focused on himself and thanking God that he is not like those other awful people. And he even singles one out there in the temple. That would be like Gene Letson. I got to be careful. There's so many Genes in the sanctuary today. Like Gene Letson. Praying, I thank You, God, that I am not like Tim. That would be like Carol. Praying, I thank You, God, I'm not like Greg. Come on, amen, amen. That would be like me. Praying, I thank You, God, I'm not like Jim. You weren't supposed to say amen there. You're his wife. You get that opportunity. My friends, it's arrogance beyond conceit to stand before God and brag about yourself. Take a look. Take a look the next time you're out in nature, out in the wilds. I envy Weldon. He's right now out somewhere seeing the beauty of creation. Just for 3 weeks, I know you're laughing, for 3 weeks I had the joy of seeing the beauty of creation, not just from the deck of the ship, but also on the shore excursions. We were in Costa Rica. We were taking this tram that took us up through the cloud forest layer up the side of a mountain, and we're sitting there looking out at the beauty of God's creation. Did you know there are more than two kinds of toucans? I had no idea. Not just the kind you see on your Fruit Loops box, but several different kinds of multicolored billed toucans. Beautiful birds and animals. Monkeys. The beauty of God's creation. the beauty of His handiwork. How can someone take a look at the beautiful night sky and the stars, the glorious night sky, and all the stars that you can possibly see and more beyond that you could count and say God does not exist? Thank you. It's amazing, the beauty and glory of God's creation. And to stand in the very temple of God, in the face of God, literally, before the Holy of Holies, and to brag about your own attainment is like an ant saying, I'm great, with an elephant getting ready to step on his head. And that's an understatement. Any human attainment you can think of, from keeping the law to works of art, great, beautiful works of art, scientific discoveries, literature, music, it matters not, whatever it may be, no matter how good you are, there is nothing that we can do that has any kind of status in God's presence. We are that ant looking up at an elephant and thinking we're great. And I praise God that He just doesn't stomp on our heads immediately, because that's what we merit. The publican. I got a kick out of the reading. I thought for a moment she said Republican. Too much politics going on. Too much politics, friends. I can't wait until this season is over, can't you? Ugh. Publicans, tax collectors, IRS agents. This fella, he is there in the temple before God. He is praying, and he is not bragging about his attainments because he knows he doesn't have any. He is a member of an organization that has sold itself out to the occupying forces of the Roman army. So, going out the gate, he's got a problem. He sold out to the wrong side. That is the equivalent of working for the Nazi occupation armies in France back during World War II. And he is just about the worst of the possible sellouts. He's going around taking money from his own people, keeping part of it, and then giving just what the Roman government requires in taxes. And he's taking as much as he can get. He's the most, one of the most hated elements of the Jewish society. He's breaking about 30 different Jewish laws in what he's doing. And he's in the temple recognizing his sin, recognizing how far he falls short of God. He is in the temple praying, not bragging, praying, be merciful to me, a sinner. Indeed, he is praying Psalm 51. Most people don't know that either. It was a discovery I made. You know, you learn wonderful things when you're prepare for sermons and you read commentaries, and these brilliant scholars of the Old and New Testament come out and tell you a little secret that you didn't know about. This is one I learned this week. Psalm 51 reads, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Wow. This sinner, this tax collector, this IRS agent, recognizing his sin, is asking for mercy, asking to be cleansed, asking to be forgiven, recognizing how far he falls short, making no pretension that doing so makes him good. but instead asking for the mercy of God to forgive him. Wow. You know, it'd be nice to have 12 more tithers in the church. Just 12. I'm going to tell you something. I think that if we just had 12 more people who recognized how far they fall short of God's glory, we would have 12 more tithers. That might be a boomerang. It'll come around and hit you from the other end. Thinking about last week's message from Willie. My friends, we're all publicans. We've all sold out to the occupying forces of this world. This world is occupied. His name is Satan who's occupied it. And I'm sorry, my friends, we have sold out to him. We just don't take our time or our money and give it to him. We give our children to him. And our very selves to him. And think we're doing a wonderful thing 1 hour or two or maybe three a week by coming and sitting in these pews and attending these classes and being good Christians. I'm sorry, my friends. We've sold out to the occupying army of Satan in this world. We've sold out. We are just like that tax collector, that publican. We've sold out to the occupying armies of sin. We are sinners. I'm sorry, Willie. I am the biggest sinner here. She said she was. No, I am. And we, like this tax collector, need to be praising God and begging him, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, at this point, the dangerous spiritual pride lurks at the door. Because now we are tempted to go out these doors and feel pretty good that we weren't sitting here going, look at me, tither, faster, prayer, in church, all the time, good studier of the Scripture, good, knowledgeable scholar on the Bible. Man, look at me. We're tempted to go out and say, whew, I don't meet any of those criteria. I'm thankful. Yeah. I'm thankful that I'm not like one of them Pharisees. We stand now at the precipice, looking over the edge into another kind of sin, which is exactly like the Pharisees. Spiritual pride at not being like a Pharisee. Kind of a roundabout way of coming back and being the same thing, isn't it? No. The problem is our focus. The problem with the Pharisee was his focus. I thank my God I'm not like the tax collector or the other sinners. Where is your focus? Is there a little inner Pharisee trying to get out? Yeah, I think so. Same here. Is there an inner publican trying to get out? Yes, I think so too. There is an inner tax collector, an inner sellout that's visible. And it's possible to be prideful about both, friends. It's possible to be thankful that I'm not like one of them Pharisees and you stumble into the same trap. No, the focus is not on the Pharisee. The focus is not on them other sinners. Oh, that's easy. I mean, we're not going to beat up on the self-righteous people. Let's beat up on the sinners then. Wow. You can beat up on both camps. There's Bertha better than you over here. Miss Self-Righteous. You all have heard the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church song, haven't you? I was showing them to my good buddy Hugh when that squirrel got loose and went totally berserk. All the way down to the Amen pew, where Seth Bertha Better Than You, who was watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. You should have seen the look on her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garter and crossed her thighs and she jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." What a wonderful song. As the squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess of sins that would make a sailor blush with shame. She told of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention was when she talked about her love life and she started naming names. I love the result. 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 got raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized, whether we needed it or not. It's easy to beat on the self-righteous folks, friends. And it's easy to beat on the sinners. We shouldn't be beating on anybody. Rather, we should be thanking God, praising God, that we have been blessed by God's grace to recognize how far we fall short of God's glory. And be we Bertha Better Than You or the tax collector, it doesn't matter. We all fall short. And a miss is as good as a mile. No one has bragging rights but Jesus. My friends, I hope and pray that we can pray Psalm 51 like that tax collector did, taking him as an example. Wow, we're taking a sinner, a tax collector, as an example here, and recognizing that in him was God's grace working and functioning and showing him how far he fell short of God's glory, how far we fall short of God's glory. The gospel, the good news is that the tax collector went home forgiven. The tax collector went home forgiven, friends. And so can we. We can go home. We can walk out of this sanctuary, my friends, forgiven. Every single sin washed away. The sin of self-righteousness and pride, the sins of the flesh and envy. We can walk out of here forgiven by recognizing that we fall short, we are sinners, by accepting the gift of God's grace that comes to us from the cross of Jesus Christ and allowing His blood and our faith in His blood to overcome us and wash away every last sin. My friends, we can walk out of here forgiven today. That's the good news. That's the blessed and glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't merit an amen, I don't know what does. My friends, we can walk out of here forgiven. We can walk out of here washed clean. Give thanks and glory to God that we have forgiveness. We have the gift of God's grace, and we can accept it and be forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen. Amen.